The book of Amos is a great little book for us to start reading, studying, and applying to our lives. Now, so far, in our sermon series in the Minor Prophets, we have looked at three of the Minor Prophets, Obadiah, Jonah, and Joel. And up until this point, we have known next to nothing about those prophets we were looking at. Verse 1 of Obadiah simply says, the vision of Obadiah. And that's it. Nothing more. We are not told who Obadiah was, or where he lived, or when he lived, or what he did. It's just the vision of Obadiah. Jonah, chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Well, I guess that gives us a little more information about this particular prophet. We know that his father's name was Amittai. But again, that's it. Other than being told to go to Nineveh, we are not told where Jonah lived, when Jonah lived, or anything else about him for that matter. Joel chapter 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel. Again, just his father's name. No dates, no locations, no clues as to Joel's identity. Well, we now come to Amos chapter 1, and finally, we are given a little more background information. Amos chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. Well, now we know where Amos lived and what his occupation was. He was a shepherd from Tekoa, a village about 10 miles south of Jerusalem in the land of Judah. And we know when Amos lived. Uzziah, who was also sometimes known as Azariah, was king of Judah in the south, and Jeroboam II, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel in the north, and both kings reigned about the same amount of time, at about the same time. And so most of the commentaries that I consulted pegged the ministry of Amos somewhere between 760 and 750 BC, during the 8th century, just a few decades before the northern kingdom of Israel, those 10 tribes, were led away into captivity by the Assyrians. Now, times were good during the long reigns of those two kings. There was peace and prosperity. Lots of territorial expansion, growing military might. King Uzziah ended up being the longest reigning monarch of the kingdom of Judah, sitting on the throne for a record 51 years. And King Jeroboam II was the longest reigning monarch in Israel's history after the kingdom had split into two. He ruled for 40 years. And during those long reigns, times were good. But then along came Amos. Now, I don't know why, but when I first typed that sentence into my computer, along came Amos, for some strange reason, that old song immediately popped into my mind. And along came Jones, tall, thin Jones, slow walking Jones, slow talking Jones, along came long, lean, lanky Jones. It really is strange the way my brain works sometimes. But along came Amos, the hero of our story. And he is the hero because he exposed the corruption that was hiding underneath the surface of the apparent success that the kingdom of Israel seemed to be enjoying. But the truth of the matter was that underneath all of the glitz and glamour, underneath the prosperity and riches, underneath Israel's respectable exterior could be found a rotten core of immorality, idolatry, injustice, and ungodliness. And to those in the nation of Israel who had grown accustomed to living in the lap of luxury, Amos came along and declared God's dreadful warnings and urged them to repent. Sadly, however, the people did not respond. And so Amos was forced to announce that God's judgment would be sure. And God's judgment would be soon. Now, this was pretty gutsy for a southerner from Tekoa to travel north and cross the border and start preaching on essentially what was foreign soil. For you see, when King Solomon died, the nation of Israel divided into two kingdoms. The kingdom of Judah with its two tribes in the south, the kingdom of Israel with its 10 tribes in the north, and those kingdoms never came together again. For the children's future, Ezekiel prophesied that one day they will. And we're still waiting for that day to happen. But those two kingdoms, they never came together again, and sometimes they cooperated with one another, kind of. Sometimes they were at bitter odds against one another. But after the glory days of King David and King Solomon, they could never see their way to join together again. So Amos was a foreigner trying to convince his northern neighbors to get right with God. And that did not go over very well. If we skip ahead to Amos chapter 7, we read about Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, complaining to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos chapter 7, verse 10, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words, for this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go out into exile, away from their native land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there, and do your prophesying there." Like I said, a foreigner trying to convince his northern neighbors to get right with God did not go over very well. And not only that, to make matters worse, not only was Amos not a native Israelite, he was not even a professional prophet. He was a shepherd. He looked after sheep. Chapter 7, verse 14, Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" Isn't that great? God took an ordinary, everyday person, a shepherd, who also dabbled in some farming with some sycamore fig trees on the side. And God used a shepherd to deliver God's messages to God's people and to the surrounding nations. And that, my friends, is our takeaway for this morning. Our takeaway for this morning is this: if God could use Amos, God can use anybody. If God could use a shepherd, God can use anybody. I was born in Moose Jaw. I grew up here in Regina. But right after getting married, my wife and I moved to Saskatoon, where she worked as a registered nurse at the University Hospital, and I was employed as an automobile insurance adjuster with SGI. After high school, going to Bible school was about the last thing on my mind. In fact, on one occasion, my wife just suggested that I perhaps think about the possibility of maybe going to Bible school for a while. And my reaction was so negative that she did not dare to bring it up again. While we were in Saskatoon, living and working there, we started attending the nearest Alliance Church, which happened to be Westgate Alliance Church, and we got super heavily involved. We attended Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, and midweek prayer meeting. We sang in the choir. We were youth sponsors, led a home Bible study, visited on behalf of the church through Evangelism Explosion. I mean, we did it all. And during those 2 years at Westgate Alliance Church, God began softening my heart and placing a desire within me to want to do those kinds of things, quote, full time. And so that meant moving back to Regina to enroll at Canadian Bible College to train to become a pastor. Now, I am not comparing myself to Amos and the super significant ways that God used him, not at all. But I am encouraged that just as God took a shepherd and used him as his spokesperson centuries ago, God has also chosen to use a former insurance adjuster to be his spokesperson, his servant, as a pastor for almost 34 years now. Now, I've shared with you before that Alex Christian designs the PowerPoint slides for the sermons for us. So I have to be quite disciplined to get sermon manuscripts to him well in advance, so he has a few days to design some slides to support the point I'm trying to make. And of course, I reserve the right to edit, to add, to delete, to change, and all of those kinds of things. And the next slide that I'm about to show you, my first response was to delete it. And then I thought, no, Alex went to all this work. And I think it will help to solidify, to drive home the point I'm trying to make. If God could use Amos, God can use anybody. If God can use a shepherd, God can use anybody. If God can use a former insurance adjuster, God can use anybody. So this is Alex Christian's caricature of your pastor. Apparently, I was the insurance adjuster rejecter of the year. That was news to me. And I do kind of like the guy on the right. A lot more hair than the guy on the left. A lot more hair than I have right now. But back to the main point. If God could use Amos, a shepherd, he can use anybody. Let me give you a few more examples of God using ordinary, everyday people. And Jerry Durston, was a baker before becoming provincial director of Child Evangelism Fellowship 15 years ago. In 2001, he closed his bakery in the Golden Mile and by faith stepped into the role that he now has. I asked Kristen to dig up some statistics for me. And Kristen tells me that just over the last 10 years, 48,409 children have attended five-day clubs. 48,409 children have attended five-day clubs in the last 10 years. 3,332 have made professions of faith in Christ. Along the way, Jerry developed Club DJ for kids right here in the basement of this building when it was Hillsdale Alliance Church. And today, more than 45 churches are using Club DJ materials in North America, and plans are moving ahead to take Club DJ to Cuba, where Jerry just came back from, and Guatemala and China and several other countries through a partnership with another organization called World Serve. God is using a former baker to bless people in incredible ways. John McGregor was a gun-carrying terrorist in Northern Ireland, trained as a printer before God got a hold of his life and turned him into a pastor and evangelist. Shay Durston was a grocery store clerk before he started as an intern here at Heritage in September of 2008 and then full-time with us as director of youth and worship in September of 2009, and I honestly do not know what we would do without him. And as we read through the pages of Scripture, time and time again, we see that same pattern repeated of God using ordinary everyday people to accomplish his plans and his purposes in this world. And the very neat thing, the interesting thing is that every time God taps someone on the shoulder and asks them to do something, he is not as concerned with their ability to do the job as he is concerned with their availability to do the job. We need to take that to heart. We need to remember that, be encouraged by that. When God taps you on the shoulder to do something, he is not as concerned with your ability as he is with your availability, your willingness. So let us be less concerned about your ability to do whatever it is that God is asking you to do and be more concerned with your availability. I mean, after all, on one occasion, God used Balaam's donkey to be his spokesperson. And my friends, if God can use a donkey, surely he can use you. Surely he can use me. Worship team is going to come, and we're going to respond to the sermon by singing hymn number 225, Take My Life and Let It Be. The words will be on the screen, but if you do want to add the harmonies, you can follow along, use your hymn book, hymn number 225. And it really is a prayer of surrender, and I trust that we will sing it that way and mean it that way. And as soon as we start singing, those who are going to be baptized and those who are assisting those to be baptized, we're going to go into the change room here just to the side of the piano. So would you please stand as we sing this together and get ready for the baptisms.